moose likes to live where the water runs cold.
Like Montana or Minnesota.
He can stand all day in the clear blue bay,
eating water plants like it's no mistake.
How he loves to be
wandering free out among the trees so tall.
Moose likes to live where the winds blow cold.
Like up in Maine or Manitoba.
It has antlers that are 6 feet wide.
When it bellows his call, he is filled with pride.
How he loves to be
wandering free out among the trees so tall.
The weather is cold, like Norway, near Oslo.
See him standing tall in the morning sun,
munching on plants when the day is done.
How he loves to be
wandering free out among the trees so tall.
Moose on the Loose is Farmer Jason. He's performing there with Joe Nesbo and Todd Snyder. That's from a release called Nature Jams. And we're thinking about nature that's really right there. It's in your backyard. Animals in the Backyard is a show that's been written and produced by our junior producer and intern, Daniel. You can find pictures and links and a learning guide and so much more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Animals in the Backyard.
In the United States, we have animals such as bears, porcupines, deer, and even mountain lions that sometimes make their way near suburbs. Then, in cities, you'll often find animals such as squirrels, lizards, rabbits, rats, and coyotes. However, an animal that we would never expect to see wandering around our towns, unless you live in the state of Florida because their wildlife is crazy, are monkeys. However, in Thailand, that is just the case. In the cities of Phuket and Lopburi, monkeys, specifically long-tailed macaques, roam the streets in enormous groups. These long-tailed macaques have lived in the area for thousands of years, right alongside human civilizations. In the city of Lopburi, every year on the last Sunday of November, the people actually throw something called the Monkey Buffet Festival, where they put out large banquets of food for the monkeys to eat. The monkeys are not only a natural part of Thailand's ecosystem, they also hold a deep spiritual and cultural value to the people of Lopburi. However, in recent years, conflicts have arisen. The large number of monkeys that live in the city has attracted many tourists from around the world. And while this tourism is good for supporting Thailand's economy, and it brings up important wildlife conservation topics, it has also created problems. Because the monkeys are so cute, many tourists and locals will feed the monkeys year-round. In monkey troops, weaker members often give up food to their alpha as a sign of submission. So after humans give them food, they see us as weaker than we actually are. In recent years, the Thailand monkeys have been growing increasingly aggressive, and often lash out when they expect food from humans but don't get it. All the free food also means that the monkey population has grown out of control, which is bad for the monkeys, their ecosystem, and the surrounding people. However, the city of Lopburi in Thailand has made great progress in tackling the monkey problem. By relocating and sterilizing large groups of monkeys so that they can't have babies, they have drastically reduced their populations, and the relationships between people and monkeys have begun to heal. Another country that's having trouble with a similar problem is India. In India, there are around 70 million stray dogs. Like the Lopburi monkeys, India has strong cultural and religious ties to the dogs. And it is illegal to both kill stray dogs or remove them from a street they live on. Also, similarly to the monkeys, the dogs have come to expect people to hand out food to them and thus have become increasingly aggressive. Rabies is also a large problem in India, and many of the dogs are unvaccinated against the sickness. India has been addressing the problem by increasing their sterilization and vaccination efforts to help the dogs, along with increasing discussion around responsible pet ownership. However, the problem is far from over, and both government officials and individuals are still discussing the different ways to tackle this canine controversy. This brings up an important topic to remember when discussing urban environments. In some ways, loving urban animals too much can be just as bad as hating our urban creatures. While there is nothing wrong with watching these critters from afar, feeding and petting a wild creature before knowing if it's safe is no good. Always learn about the animals that live in your backyard and the best ways to interact with them. Most of the time, that just means giving them plenty of space. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and we've got plenty more.
Mama was queen of the Mambo, Papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. I went to the big town where there is a lot of sound, from the jungle to the city looking for a bigger crown. So I play my bongi for the people of big city, but they don't go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. But I'm a king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. They say that I'm a clown, making too much dirty sound. They say there is no place for little monkey in this town. Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. Banging on my bongo, all that swing belongs to me. I'm so happy there's nobody in my place instead of me. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo bong.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo
bong. Hear me when I come. Mama was queen of the Mambo, Papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. Hear me when I come. Hear me when I come, baby. Hear me when I come.
That's Manu Chao right here on the Children's Hour with Bongo Bong. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're thinking about the animals in the backyard. So different if you live in Thailand and you have monkeys, or if you live in India and you have packs of wild dogs. What's in your backyard? reach out to us. Go to childrenshour.org/contact or just look for this episode page, Animals in the Backyard. You'll also find learning materials that come with this show and activities too. Daniel and I had a conversation with the Alaskan director of the Center for Biological Diversity, Cooper Freeman, about the animals that they see up there in Alaska in their backyards.
Due to climate change, have any animals moved to Alaska or have migrated to other parts of the state?
Alaska is a huge state. What we're seeing actually is more species moving north, animals moving northwards in Alaska than moving into Alaska per se. I'll give some examples. Beaver historically didn't live in places further north in Alaska, at least in recent times, because they were covered by ice. The permafrost in the tundra was frozen. As the permafrost in the tundra are thawing and the ice is retreating north, we're seeing beaver move north. We're also seeing that with moose. And this is a really interesting phenomenon. Salmon, for example, are co-evolved to live with beaver. There's actually indigenous stories, I believe from British Columbia, that say that salmon taught beaver to jump. So we think that by and large, salmon streams that aren't used to having beaver in them will do okay with beaver moving north. But beaver also, in creating dams and rivers, can accelerate the thaw of permafrost by creating standing water that warms permafrost. So these are really complicated relationships as animals move around. As moose move north, because the habitat is greening up, there's more larger trees in the tundra, from shrubs and grass that may be up to your ankle or your knee. Now we're seeing willows and trees that are up to the top of your head and taller, which favors moose, but doesn't favor caribou. So caribou's range is contracting while moose is expanding. We don't want to see the caribou go away, but moose moving in is an interesting opportunity. One thing that's really concerning is that Alaska is at the top of the continent, especially for terrestrial species. There is nowhere to keep moving north. At some point, you fall off into the ocean. That's really concerning, because when species already at the northernmost end of their range phase out of that range becomes no longer suitable for them. There is nowhere to go. And those species we're very concerned about will just go extinct. And we may already be seeing that. For example, the gray-headed chickadee, the northernmost chickadee in North America, may have gone extinct. The last sighting was 2018 and no one's seen it since then. And it lives permanently year-round in the Arctic. And so it's very concerning. On the other hand, there are many animals that are generalists and I'm hoping will be able to adapt and evolve and find new ways to live in this age of climate change.
Well, one animal that's in my backyard every year are sandhill cranes. And I think that they might go north up to Alaska. But if they do, it's like you're stealing our sandhill cranes.
I have a lot of great memories seeing these birds. So, out of all the animals that can be found in your backyard, do you have any favorites or special memories with them that you'd like to share?
We're not stealing your sandhill cranes. They migrate and they live down south. And then every spring they come up to our town here in Homer, Alaska, as well as many other places across Alaska. And it's so magical. Winter is very long in Alaska. It can be very dark and very cold. And sometimes you wonder if we're ever going to make it out of the winter. But invariably, every spring, the sandhill cranes show up and they're very loud. They have these big noises. They're excited to be back. The grass is greening up. The light's returning. And the sandhill cranes show up and you hear it out of your window in the morning when you're waking up. And it just feels like summer is here. Spring is here. We made it through the winter. Summer's on its way. The warmth is coming. The sun is coming back. And it's that annual rhythm that we get to live in, that wildlife shows us the way forward and gives us hope. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to reconnect with the seasonal rhythms and the flow of the wild, with the sandhill cranes moving from south to north and back to north and coming up here and having their babies. And it's really a magical time of year. And it's one of my favorite experiences that I get to have here. So may the sandhill cranes continue to return year after year and welcome back the warmth and the sun in summertime in Alaska.
We're sandhill cranes with half-filled brains. I'm a flighty kind of guy and she's a ditzy dame. We refused to study and our moms were peeved. When we found each other, we were so relieved. We're two birds of a feather, we're identical types. On our heads in red are identical stripes. We're sandhill cranes with half-filled brains, and we don't mind a bit if we're called half-wit. Like all cranes worldwide, on our wings we glide, on our brains we depend just as little as we can. And our diet is strange, through the fields we range. Caterpillar is preferred, though we will eat grains. Though we mate for life, there's considerable strife. You'll have ruffled pin feathers with a crane for a wife. We're sandhill cranes with half-filled brain. Anything we learn dribbles down the drain. More than 4 feet high, with bright yellow eye, we could peck your neck if you happened by. But we're not that sort, we're just good sports, though we don't like coot cause they're too darn short. In our mating dance, we will jump and prance, then we'll bow to each other, what a sound we will utter. We're sandhill cranes with half-filled brains, and we stay outdoors even when it rains.
This is Linda Hogan reading The Sandhills. The language of cranes, we once were told, is the wind. The wind is their method, their current, the translated story of life they write across the sky. Millions of years they have blown here on ancestral longing, their wings of wide arrival, necks long, legs stretched out above strands of earth where they arise with the shine of water. Stories interminable, language of exchanges, descended from the sky. And then they stand, earth made only of crane, from bank to bank of the river, as far as you can see, the ancient story made new.
Linda Hogan was recorded by the Poetry Foundation. Find our playlist and learning guide and so much more for this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for Animals in the Backyard.
You're listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is now producing weekly educational modules to go with every episode, thanks to a grant from the Albuquerque Community Foundation. You can support this effort too. Go to childrenshour.org and click donate. The Children's Hour is grateful to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting our recordings. Many thanks to New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and the National Endowment for the Arts for their support of the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is grateful to the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund for their support.